Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Brilliant. My name's Jonathan, and it's I've got kind of two privileges, really. One is to be leading the congregation in Worthing. I'm part of the leadership team of Kingdom Faith. If you don't know Kingdom Faith, it knows you. It knows you because we pray for you. We believe God that he wants to invest in you. We trust God that that investment is going to be eternal, not just temporary. We believe that God wants to transform our lives so that in the world that God's put us, we become a transforming agent to those around us. That somehow, by the grace of God, you and I can demonstrate the invisible God is real. And that Jesus is not a figment of someone's imagination. He's actually alive today, and he wants to change people's lives today. So we've been praying for Worthing for many years. We've been praying for you, therefore. Whether you're kind of just here for this evening, or whether you live in the town, or whether you just know Worthing, we believe that God answers prayer. How many of you agree with that? Yes. I only need one person. That's okay, so two of us are agreeing. But also, we have a congregation that meets in Horsham. It met there this morning from 9:30 to 11. And then another congregation that meets in Crawley at a school. That meets from about 10 to 11:30. So today there's about 600 people would have met, including kids. Kind of fun. Why am I saying that? Because sometimes when we come up with something like this, we just see the people around us and we just think, well, this is okay, it's nice. But actually, God designed you and me to be part of something bigger than us. And part of what I want to talk about tonight is the power of being small in a big God's world. Is that okay? We sang one of the praise songs a bit earlier where it says, your mercies are new every morning. Now, I know it's 10 past 6 in the evening, but it's okay. I believe God's mercy lasts until 10 past 6 in the evening. So we're going to be on the receiving end of mercy. What's mercy? It's God's power to stop us getting what we deserve, which is told off and a smack. The other aspect of God is his grace, which is God's power to give us what we don't deserve, which is life and health and energy. So we're going to talk a little bit about how does God do that and why is it that actually we can invest in each other through something like the congregation here and how we can put our trust in a God that's bigger than the world that we live in so that he begins to enlarge you and enlarge me so we become really, really, really effective in the world that we're in today. How many of you are interested in knowing how to do that? Yeah. Okay, because whether you've known Jesus for a minute or for 1,000 minutes or 1,000,000 minutes, there can always be this challenge that how can I be a person of change when there's so much that needs changing out there? Maybe that's just me. Does anybody else think a bit like that? Yeah. Two of us. Anne, I'm glad you came. It's good to have you. Is that sometimes when we wake up and we look out of the window of our life, we can see need out there, we can perceive it, we can be on the receiving end of it, and at some point we can end up taking a step back and saying, what on earth can I do about this? I'm going to help you with that. There's absolutely nothing on earth that we can do about this, which is why we have to engage with something that is not of this earth to change that which is, and it's called heaven. Have you heard of heaven? Yeah. I'll just give you a theological description of heaven. Heaven is where God lives. All right, so I don't know whether you think it's pink fluffy rabbits or whether you think it's just angelic gold dusty things. I don't know. There's all kinds of books out there. There's a good book at the end of the Bible. But heaven is where God lives. Where God doesn't live is called something else. All right, but we don't need to talk about that because we're not going there. Woohoo! So what God wants you to perceive and me to perceive tonight is that as we engage with this heavenly power, this heavenly area, and Jesus said to his disciples, he said, don't try and find heaven on a map, because you're not going to find it on a map. You're not going to find it in a building. You're not going to find it this side of the river or that side of the river. You're not going to find it with a certain people group. You're going to find it because I'm going to put it inside of you. I think that's quite good. Jesus then went on to say something like this, don't be afraid, little flock, because my Father has been pleased to give you what? A smack? No. A telling off? No. A bribe? No. My Father has been pleased to give you a kingdom. Aren't you thankful if you've received Christ that you've received not just the person who is the king, but you've also received the kingdom that he rules over? I think that's pretty awesome. That means that within your life, within my life, you have a kingdom resource tonight. All is well because Jesus is Lord. There's all kinds of stuff going on today. There's, you know, we had a tremendously powerful time of prayer here on last Wednesday. Of those of you that came, it was a good time, wasn't it? We just kind of got engaged with God, and God began to speak to us and lead us in all kinds of ways. And as we gave our lives to serve the king for that hour and a half, the king began to tell us what he wanted to do. I think that's really powerful, because this kingdom operates out of the king's command. That's the power of the kingdom of God. That's why Jesus said it's not over here, it's not over there. It's actually, it's very close to you. It's where Jesus is king. It's where Jesus is Lord. It's where Jesus reigns. Now, we had a bit of rain today as we were here. We had a bit of a gazebo fight, but we won by the grace of God. Hallelujah. We didn't end up in Brittany or Normandy. It was close, but it was fun. But what was even more fun was the fact that it took five of us working together to make one thing happen. Every person had a part. Every person had a role. My wife got caught up in a load of guy ropes. We almost hung her at one point. It was like, what are you doing in there? She looked like an origami. It was like she's trying to fold herself to death. But we succeeded. There's a good principle about the kingdom of God. It's not about the size of the outside. It's about the size of the one who's on the inside. Jesus said to you and to me, he is greater on the inside. So don't let the world tell you that you look small, you sound small, and you think small. Because this king thinks brilliant things about you and great things about me. Woohoo! In fact, can I just suggest that because of this amazing mercy, because of this abundant grace, he only has great ideas about you. Thanks for that. Whew, tumbleweed. Woohoo! There we go. It says in Genesis 12, that I will make you great. God was talking to Abraham. Who was Abraham? He was probably one of the first people that heard God's voice in such a clear way and then did something about it. And he moved from being an Abram to an Abraham. He moved from being one who worshipped many gods to one who just followed one. He became the first Jew in history. Why? Because Hebrew means Hebrew, one who comes across the water. He was the first Hebrew, the first tea drinker in the whole Bible. That was good, wasn't it? No, okay. I know even worse ones than that. Stay around. But it's always God's heart. It's always been God's intention to take the ordinary, the people who must have mercy, must receive grace, people that look a little bit like you and me on a good day. Have you seen the advert? Was it Barocco? You've got this great big lumberjacky bloke. Have you seen this advert before I make myself? It's a bit this kind of gentleman's size, all right? So a man of stature. You know, it's like, he's a big fella, but he's juggling on this big piece of tip. Have you not seen it? You need to get out more. He's doing all this dancing, and there's a little bloke next to him. He's kind of a mini version, like mini me, and it says, is it Barocco like you on a good day? Yeah. It's one of his energy drinks. Have any of you got a telly? You've seen it, haven't you? Please say yes. Thank you. So you were watching it. It wasn't you, was it? It's not you. No, okay, I didn't think it was. What's God trying to say tonight? What he's saying is, sometimes it can feel like our world is spinning. That we're just doing enough to keep all the plates spinning, keep all the logs rolling, and we're running as fast as we can. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Can I just suggest to you that when God looks at you, when you're spinning, and when you're just getting stuff done, and when you're on the verge of, oh, I don't know where this is going, God says something like this to you. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Anybody here have dreams? A couple of us. We need to have dreams. There's something really powerful when you start to dream. Our mouths were filled with laughter. Our tongues with songs of joy. That's cool, isn't it? I wonder when the world begins to poke us, is that what comes out of our mouth? Is it? Or is it, we hope it does? Because what God wants is for us to live in such a sense of this heaven connection that whatever the world pokes at us, what comes out is a sound of laughter. Ha ha! Is that the best you can do? It says in Psalm 2 that all the nations plot in vain, and the Lord sits on the throne and just says, get over yourself. He laughs. And I believe God wants us to be a laughing people in the sense that we realize in a fresh way that our resource of heaven never runs out, never runs empty, never goes dry. I think that's cool. Anybody else think that's kind of interesting? I'm trying to get some response. You see what I'm trying to do? If you're not sure, just check your pulse. If you can't find one, ask a friend. Is that okay? Then goes on, it says, the Lord has done great things for them. I think there are people around your world that they might not tell you this, but they're thinking is, how are you dealing with what you're dealing with such a great attitude? God is really, really good when we're having a bit of a dodgy old time, taking the focus off our dodgy old time and putting it on someone looking at it, thinking you're doing a great job. Do you know what I mean by that? Is that we're just getting on the best we know how to, but somehow around our life, this kingdom acts a little bit like a filter. When people look at you, all they see is the good bits. Woohoo! Thank you, Jesus. Aren't you so thankful? Is that they don't see us having a bit of a difficulty, having a moment. What they see is God outworking us. There's a filter that the heaven puts around us better than the ready brick man. There's something about a Christian, there's something about people who know Jesus that they become a filter for the world to look at and see that God's alive and he's real today. Amen. Thank you. I'm glad you turned up. Mate, it's all right. It's nice to see you.
I've been bitten by the mosquitoes. That's why I'm a bit late.
Really? Yeah, did you bite them back?
I went camping and they gave me a nice bite.
You should have come with us.
Oh, sorry.
We scared all the mosquitoes off.
Yeah,
it says, the Lord has done great things for us and we're filled with joy.
Praise God.
Woohoo! Come on, Nikki.
Praise God, man.
Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Oh, don't you just love that? There's the grace and the mercy of God. Is God knows sometimes when the world squeezes us, we don't get very happy. But God also knows within inside of you is a wellspring of joy which will never be quenched ever. I think sometimes when the world squeezes us, joy comes out. Is that the best you got? See, we need a few more like this over here. Is that all right? Come on, work with me here. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will come back with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. You say, that's God's heart for you, that's God's heart for me. He said, it doesn't matter how we start, it's how we end. It doesn't matter how we go out, it's how we come back. It doesn't matter how we enter the world that we're in. It's the change that takes place when we're there. This is the kingdom of God. How do we make this work? I hear you ask. I love you. I get to take her home. Isaiah 55, it says this. This was written about 740 BC. Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters. You have no money. Come, buy and eat. What a deal. There is nowhere, no one, nothing that offers a deal like this one. Where all you have to do is say, I'm thirsty, and you can plug in with the river of life. All you can say is, actually, I'm really hungry, and you can engage with the bread of life, and you don't need anything except a desire to be satisfied. This is why grace and mercy are brilliant, because sometimes I hear people say, I'm having such a dry time. Well, plug in to the river of God then. Oh, my life is such a barren place. God finds people in barren places. It feels like I'm going through a wilderness. Brilliant. You will find God there because there's nobody else to find. Does that make some sense? Oh, it just feels like I've not, you know, I haven't heard God. Have you read your Bible? No. Well, open it then, you loony. I haven't heard God. Have you prayed? No, he doesn't listen to me. He is now. He's listening to you. He's not moaning. Get a grip. God's always listening because he wants to make you great. He wants to do great and be great and make ordinary people do extraordinary things. Come to me, all who are thirsty. Come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Because you and I know, if we're Christians, that there was a cost, but we never paid it. There was a cost and we couldn't afford it. There was a cost and we could never save up for it. There was a cost and we couldn't contribute it. That cost was a sacrifice, made it free, but I never gave it, but I get the benefit of it and so do you. There was a cost, but I never had to pay it. But it's been made once for all. So Jesus is saying through this guy, actually, I want to restore things. I want you to be filled with joy all the time. Even if you go out a bit miserable, you can come back happy because I'm going to do something in your life. I'm going to change something through you. You don't even need money to get this resource from me. All you need to do is come. Come, for me, defines I need to move from point A towards point B. I just need to know where point B is. Do you understand that? I can't say, God, come to me, come to me, come to me, because God is saying, come to me. Now, if I keep saying, God, come to me, come to me, come to me, I am king over my kingdom, and that's never going to work. But if I respond and say, I can hear you saying, come, I'm going to come, then he becomes king, and he will respond to that. Hallelujah. Remember, this was written 750 years before Jesus was born, but Jesus was still speaking through this guy called Isaiah. He says, why spend money on what's not bread, and your labor on what doesn't satisfy? Listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest affair. See, when God gives, he doesn't give El Shoddy, but El Shaddai. God doesn't give El Cheapo. God gives the best, because he is the best. God gives the best part of himself, so that we can receive all of it for ourselves. There's an exchange that goes on. Hunger for satisfaction. Thirst for a quenching of thirst. Isn't that amazing? Then we find 70 years later, Jesus said a very similar thing, but then he would. Just had a great time of ministry. He provided for all kinds of people through the disciples. He said this, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So what's God saying to us tonight? He wants to give us not just the kingdom, and if we've received Christ, he's done that. He wants us to live out of the resource that the kingdom brings. What is that? Here's a few thoughts on what I think it is. Food and drink are basic ingredients to sustain life. Not the kind of life that is going to be here in 1 minute and gone the next, but this is eternal God-living life, the Zoe life. We have tears, but it rejoices into songs if we give thanks in all circumstances. Woo-hoo! Well, I don't know what to do. Give thanks. But it hurts. Give thanks. It doesn't work. Give thanks. Everybody hates me. Give thanks. Why? Because we know that give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. But if you knew what was happening, give thanks. Well, if God knew all about me, give thanks. Why? Because it engages with the one who quenches our thirst. It begins to open up the possibilities to the one who gives us food, which is eternal. I think thanksgiving is a key to living this kingdom life. Our coming and our going. It says you can come in, you can go out. Jesus will determine how we return. Even if we don't start well, we'll finish well. I don't know how you see Mondays. For some of you, Mondays might be it was the first day back at work. Some of you, it might be holiday. For some of you, it's just the same day. Can I just suggest that tomorrow is the best Monday you've ever had? You've never had it before. You never have. You might have had a Monday before, but not tomorrow, because it's not happened yet. Remember I started by saying it's the first time I've been here today? Why? Because my expectation is every day is a day God has made for me to delight and rejoice in. When it goes a bit, what happens? I'm just going to rejoice anyway, because something's going to change. When it's not going your way, it's just going a way, I want to delight in God, because he's going to change something. He's going to feed me, and he's going to nourish me. It's free to come, and it's free to receive. Cool. I think that's quite good. We're going to approach Jesus in a little bit, and we're just going to ask him for whatever's in our heart. But we have to kind of do that through a little bit of a process, and we're going to do that together in a few moments. But we're free. You're free to come to Jesus. It means I need to move from wherever I am, whatever I feel like, whatever the pressures of life are telling me, is only where I start. If I move towards the God-giving Jesus and the graceful God and the favor of God, immediately I'm going to begin to plug into that. But I've got to move from here to there. And usually it starts between our ears. Why would God want to give me anything? Why not? Why not? And when God gives, it's not cheap. It's the best there is. It's the best there is. We might have karma and it's like, well, actually, I don't know where my life going. He does, because he's the author and perfecter of it. I have such a busy week coming up. God might be saying to you, well, just rest in me, trust in me, and I will make your path straight. Might just be that we are confused.com, in which case we just need to call upon the Lord while he was near and he will answer us. Might just be that we're just fed up. Well, then let's feed up on God. How does he give and what does he give? Primarily two things, himself and himself. See, the great thing about Jesus is he doesn't send flowers. He doesn't send a telegram saying, I'm really sorry, come back tomorrow when it's more convenient. He doesn't say, well, you know, when you've prayed enough or when you've run enough or when you've given enough in the offering, I'll come. He says, no. Come to me and I'll come to you. Ask of me and I'll answer you. Knock on the door and I'll open it. This is the heart of Jesus towards you and to me tonight. So he gives himself, and he gives himself by the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't know whether everybody here, we might have received the kingdom, we might be Christians, I have no idea. We might have exchanged our life, given our miserable, old, sinful, sin-derived, sin-fulfilling life. We may have given that to Jesus and received a brand new life in exchange or not. I have no idea. All I know is that's what God wants to do. We may have received the power to live in that new life. I have no idea. But that's exactly what Jesus wants to give us. Because he only gives the best, and he is the best, and his spirit is the best. How do we cover the cost of this? Well, I think there's just one word, and that's obedience. How do we pay to live in this kingdom life? Through obedience. How do I pay the next time? The same way, through obedience. Bible says, let no debt remain outstanding apart from one to love one another. That's a good debt. I think there's a debt here that God is building where we just want to love each other. Okay, three of us do. The rest of us, we just need to get it, okay? And we just work really, really hard. We just want to love one each other because we're seeking to live as those that know our debts have been paid. Our lives belong to somebody else. We're feeding off a different life force, if you like, a source. The source of life is God himself and the Spirit of God that he sends. And for me, the whole crux of it is this. We've got to come. We've got to move from where we are to where he is. We've got to move in our thinking. God speaks about set our mind on things above. Don't dwell on things that hinder or corrupt. And we all do that. He says, no, just think that God is faithful and merciful just for a minute, and suddenly you'll begin to understand actually he's like that all the time. Just think that God is able to do much more than we ask or imagine. Just for a moment. How do we know that God's like this? Because he's written all his thoughts down on a piece of paper. It's called the Bible. Then we just need to make a decision. Actually, I can move from where I am to where he is. How do I do that? Because I want to. Because I want to. Thirdly, because actually, there's nothing very good here. Jesus didn't come so we'd just have a life. He came so we would have eternal life, the best of life, the fullness of life, the kind of life that people sing about, the kind of life that people say, why are you just like that? Why is it the world isn't making you look the same as it is everybody else? Why is it that every time the world pokes you, faith and positivity come out? Why is it that in your home it just operates slightly differently? Why is it that when I work around you, I just get uplifted? I just get lifted up. Me, I made a decision years ago. I don't like spending too much time with negative people. Not because I don't love them, but I don't want to leave them like it. I just don't want to leave them like it. I don't think God has charged me negatively. I can do that on my own before I knew Jesus. And he seems to have flipped this switch that says, just charge positively. So if I'm around people that are a little bit miserable, I make a mission. I'm going to cheer you up, even if your face breaks. I'm going to make you smile. I'm going to make you cheer up. Hello there. Did you know? I'm going to tell you something now. You might tell me off. Did you know that to smile, you only use 4 muscles in your face? But to look like some of you did when you came in, it's over 30. It's true. I checked that. So if you don't want your face to wear out too early, smile much more. Because you are worth it. Laurel. Yeah. So smile. So in the next few minutes, we can make a decision. What's these decisions? Firstly, God knows where I am right now, but he doesn't want me to stay there. What he says is come. What's it going to cost me? Nothing. Because he already paid. Okay, so what do I need to do to get it then? Just trust him. What's that going to cost me? Me. I'm not trying to be funny. There isn't a cost. You can't pay for what God wants to give us. We pay for it by asking for it. Because what we do when we say, Lord, help me, is that we're saying, I need help, right? When we're saying, Lord, would you please sort this out? What we're saying is, I can't sort it out. Aren't we? So the cost is only to our pride. Oh, and I'm all right. Really? Okay, then that's great. Thank you, Jesus, that this person's all right. But if you're not, he wants to make you right tonight. He wants to put a spring in your step. He wants to put a recharging of joy in your spirit. He wants to put some happy thoughts in your head. Why? Because he thinks you're worth it. Because he paid the cost so you could have a kingdom which would not fade, perish, or spoil. So he'd give you a kingdom which only increases and advances. He'd give you a kingdom which is wherever the Lord is. He'd give you a kingdom where all kinds of miracles are just normal, where healing is normal, where just seeing people built up and strengthened is normal. Most of us as Christians don't always experience the normality of God. So when the normal comes, we think it's abnormal because we're too used to subnormal. I think that's right. You have to listen to the message. I think that was right. But God's normal is, where my kingdom is, there's peace, there's righteousness, there's joy, there's life, there's all the things that these guys in the Psalms picked up on. Look at what God's done for them. They're always so happy. They're always so joyful. They might start miserable, but they end up singing great songs. How many of you want to live like that? Excellent. Let's all stand up, shall we? It's 21 minutes to 7. I'm not quite sure what that's got to do with anything. I'll just sort of tell you. What it has got to do with something is that this could be the last time ever you feel like you feel now. This could be the last moment that you feel hopeless or helpless or careless. This could be the last moment where you think, where's it all going? This could be at 21 and 30 seconds to 7, the last time when you think God could never use me. This could be the last moment where you ever think, it's all right for you, but what about me? This could be the last moment that you ever think, well, God is just going to pass me by. This could be your last moment to think, well, I'm not sure about all this stuff. This could be the last moment where you have that pain. This could be the last moment where you have that condition. This could be the last moment where you just feel that massive gap in your life and you think, well, I just don't know what it's all about. This could be that last moment, which is why it's important to know it's 20-7. Do you understand that? Because this could be a marker point, the turning point. Because we have to start where we're at and we've got to go to where Jesus is at. He says, come to me. He says that several times. Come to me, all who are...
William Burden.
There you go. We have a concordance in the front row. Excellent. NIV, New King James, Amplified Version. Sorry. Just close your eyes a minute. It goes all dark. That's all right. And as we just consider this for a moment, whatever our experience of Jesus has been up to this point, the best is yet to come. Whether we would say that that's been good or bad or mixed or whatever, Jesus wants us to live in the best of life, not according to what we've paid for, but according to the price that Jesus has paid for. We might consider, well, you know, it's a bit tough at the minute. I want to encourage you then. It is tough, but God's tougher than tough. We might feel a little bit hard-pressed, but God will never allow us to be crushed. We might feel as if we're pushing concrete uphill. But let me tell you, there's a great view at the top. It might just feel like nothing's going on. I said this last week, it's impossible for God to leave nothing alone. Man, he'll take that nothing and he'll touch it, he'll blow his life in it, he'll come with his word, he'll come with his spirit, and he'll change that nothing into something like you never dreamed can happen. You might feel as if, oh, well, you don't know, I can understand, you know, God used me in the past. God is exactly the same today as he was then. And it's exactly the same tomorrow too. All we have to do is recognize, Jesus, I just need to come to you tonight. I haven't got any money, but it's all right. I can't afford it, but it's fine. I'm not worth it, absolutely. I don't deserve it, totally. But that's why we qualify. Jesus gives everything to those who deserve nothing. So we just need to make a decision. Actually, my life's going to change tonight. I'm going to come to Jesus in the next few minutes. And I'm going to drink of him. And I'm going to feed from him. He's going to speak into my life. He's going to touch me with his power. He's going to just energize me with some hope for a future. Man, he can do anything he wants to do. He's God. He can come and heal me in the next few minutes. He can come and bring a miracle into my heart in the next few minutes. Why? Because that's the kind of God he is. Man, he can come and speak right into the secret place that I've been tackling with for months and months and months. It's like, I only thought I knew. Well, let me tell you, God knows everything that we think he doesn't know. But we just need to make a decision. Jesus, I'm going to come to you tonight. I'm going to come to you tonight. I'm going to come without money. I'm going to re-engage with you in a brand new way tonight. I'm going to believe that tonight you're going to release your life through me in a fresh way and in a new way. Father, tonight I believe that you're going to refresh me with the presence of your Holy Spirit. You're going to empower me afresh to do great things for you, to do amazing things for God, to see amazing works. It says in Daniel that those who know their God are strong and do great exploits. All we need to do is know God. Father, I want to thank you right now that you're speaking to our hearts, you're speaking into our lives. Father, I thank you that in the next few minutes, the day changes. Our day changes. We're not a product of our past, but our destiny is in you, our future. I thank you that we are not subject to yesterday, but we make ourselves a subject to the God of here and now, who never changes, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you that we don't have to deal with failures when we can engage with you as our success. I thank you that every failure that we've confessed, you've wiped away. You've forgotten it. It's as far as the east is from the west. I want to thank you that you keep no record of wrongs because you love us so much. I want to thank you that you don't hide stuff under the carpet, but you say, come on, just come to me and let's sort that out. I thank you for the amazing sense of your grace that's in this room right now. That grace which gives us what we don't deserve. Life, health, destiny, future, power, relationship. I thank you that that grace is in the room. Your favor, that unmerited favor. I thank you that your grace is in this place tonight. Freedom, oh, health and life and vitality. I thank you that that grace is right now moving in our hearts. Some of us are just getting it. We have a future. We have a hope. We have a destiny. You've made us rich. You've made us the head and not the tail. Oh, I thank you for that grace. It's available to all who believe in you. I thank you. I thank you, Jesus, for that amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was blind and I was lost and you found me and now I see. Oh, Jesus, you're so wonderful. You're so great. You're so amazing. I thank you so much for your amazing grace right now. Flooding our hearts. Grace comes and a light goes on. Grace comes in and rubbish goes out the door. Oh, in the grace of God, we stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank you that sign and sorrow will flee away. The sound of weeping will flee away. I want to thank you that you restoring fortunes like a stream in the desert. I want to thank you that where there was just the sound of sorrow, the songs of laughter are going to come up out of our spirit. I want to thank you that where there was just a sense of carrying a burden, you're going to give us people to carry instead in prayer, in our witness, and in our fellowship together. I want to thank you that where we've just run on empty, you're going to make us run on full and over full. I thank you that where it's just felt barren, a spring of life is going to come up out of the ground. A wellspring of life. Your word says that restore to me the joy of my salvation. For some of you, that's just what you need to do. Just say to Jesus, just restore to me right now the joy of my salvation. Doesn't mean you've lost your salvation. There's a spring that's going to rise up, O spring. Rise up, O well. Put that spring back in our step. Oh, it's not that bad with Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Oh, come on then. Jesus, I'm so thirsty. Then drink from him. Man, I'll tell you what. You can take a big gulp from Jesus and there's still more to have. You can have a big swig of Jesus and there's still loads to have. He satisfies our soul, the Bible says. In fact, the word says only he satisfies our soul. Not ambition, career, wealth, prestige, none of that satisfies us like Jesus does. None of it can, none of it will. Hallelujah. 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 And we just need to do something kind of practical now. I know we're all doing some stuff and we're kind of praying and we're chatting to God. But when I'm doing this, I actually do move. I literally see that I started in point A and I see Jesus is ahead of me or he's wherever. And I just move towards where I see him being. And suddenly I begin to encounter Jesus in a brand new way. It's amazing because you have to fight. You know, what is he going to think? He knows all about you. How's he going to respond? He's going to love on you. What's he going to do? I have no idea, but he's God and he knows what he's doing. So I'm just going to invite those of you that just sense, okay, I just need to kind of make a bit of a physical statement. Not just because I'm in a bunch of people. It's not for us. This physical statement is for yourself. I've moved tonight. I'm not in the same place tonight. I've come to Jesus in a new way and in a fresh way. Then you're also telling Jesus, I trust you. I'm coming to where you are, where I perceive you to be right now. You're also telling your past, I'm not living with you. I'm living with him now, in a new way, in a fresh way. And you're telling your future, we've got a great future together with God. So in the next few minutes, if you want to, you can just come out and stand with us. I'm out here, the lectern's out here. Both me and the lectern are moving. Hallelujah. Even the lectern is going to get it. Because I just want to come to Jesus tonight. And then I believe God is going to release something fresh. Why? Because he always does when we come, doesn't he? Come if you're thirsty, I'll give you a drink. Come if you're hungry, and I'll give you some food. Come if you feel like you've got a burden, and I'll take it from you and give you a better one. So if you want to come out and join me on this nice piece of wood, you're very welcome. If not, I'll just stand there on my own. I really don't mind. There isn't going to be any music. All we need is a willing heart. Thank you, Jesus. I praise you. I praise you tonight, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. There's loads of space. Just go wherever you want to go. You can come out here. You can come out the side. Just move in that sense of, yeah, I'm coming to you. I'm coming to you. I'm coming out of yesterday, today. I'm coming into a new sense of that rhythm of God in my heart and in my life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Praise you. You can just talk to Jesus, whether you've come forward or whether you haven't. Hallelujah. Praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you. I want to thank you that you don't turn anybody away that comes to you. You get rid of every reason. You get rid of every excuse. You get rid of every issue between you and us. I want to thank you that in your love, you change us. You transform us. You heal us. You make us whole. I thank you that in your love, you release grace and mercy right now. Not just in the morning, but in the evening too. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you that you release hope. Just sense there's a couple of people here. You've come in the room. It's like your life's just gone all black for a minute. Well, he is the light of the world. And he's your hope. He's a hope that's so powerful it never disappoints. It's never late. It's never early. It's always on time and it's always exactly what you need. A hope that never disappoints. His name is Jesus. Ah, hallelujah. Ooh. Praise you. Again, if you want to, and this is your own choice, if we're talking to Jesus, we're moving, then Jesus is moving right now. And you'll feel it. Some of you may not feel it. Some of you will. It doesn't matter. Jesus says, if you come to me, I'll come to you. So he is now coming to you because we've moved. For some of you that you're kind of in your seats, maybe you've just moved in your heart, you moved in your head, that's fine. Let him come to you. But particularly if you've come forward, he wants to come to you afresh. He wants to speak. Maybe it's a whisper. Maybe it's just a word. Maybe it's a repeated word. Maybe it's a vision. Maybe it's a, I have no idea. All I know is he's going to come to you with life. And his word is life. He's going to come to you by his spirit. And you might experience that. But we're not here for an experience. We're here because Jesus is faithful. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, I thank you right now that you come upon every person in this room. I thank you, Holy Spirit, you bear witness to the truth of who you are and what you've done. I thank you, Holy Spirit, you bring freedom into people's hearts and minds right now. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you come and energize those areas that have just been dry and barren. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you just wash over those areas. You revive and restore those places because you are the wellspring of life. You are the river of God. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, I thank you for coming in your healing power right now. You're just bringing liberty to joints and a muscle pain. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you come to bring life, to life us. Ha. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you. Praise you. Praise you. Praise your name. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.